This episode of the Agency Spark podcast is brought to you by Airborne, a sales engagement platform. Learn more about how to set your team up for success at airborneapp.io. More on Airborne later in the show. Welcome to the Agency Spark podcast. This is your host, Sarah Nay, and today on the show, I have Tim Fitzpatrick from Rialto Marketing. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Sarah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Of course. And Tim's actually also in Colorado with me, so I love interviewing fellow Coloradoans.
Yes, but you're not going to be a Coloradan for long, right?
I know. We were just discussing before hitting record that I'm off to Boise, Idaho. So sad to leave this beautiful state behind.
Is that an Idahoan or Ida?
Yes, that is. That makes me an Idahoan. We'll have to figure out for sure once I get there. Hopefully no one's listening.
Yeah, I hope I'm not offending somebody.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to hear about your story before launching Rialto. So can you dive in and give us a bit of your background?
Yeah, absolutely. So my entrepreneurial journey started right after I got out of college. I wasn't planning on being an entrepreneur. It found me and I fell into it and loved it. And once that was it. I was hooked. But the first business that I was a partner in was a wholesale distribution company. And we sold consumer electronics, home theater equipment, that type of stuff to contractors and got in at a good time. Business grew a lot. We grew about 60% a year for 9 years. And then we sold it in 2005. After that, I had a contract with the company that bought us. I worked for them for another 3 years. I was in Northern California in the Bay Area at that time, which is where I was born and raised. And then I moved with the company out to Denver, and that's what brought me out to Denver. And then this was 2008 timeframe. We all know what happened then. Stuff hit the fan, and I actually got laid off from the company that bought us in 2009. So I had to shift gears. My whole professional career had been in distribution. So I had always been interested in real estate. I got involved in residential real estate, which, man, it put me outside of my comfort zone every damn day. But I did not like it. I was not happy. And what's the point of owning your own business if you're not happy doing it? So I shifted gears and I got into marketing in about 2013. And that's what I'm still doing today. I love it. It's dynamic. It's fun. And it's an absolute necessity if you want to have a thriving business.
Absolutely. And you learn something every day, I feel like, in marketing as well, or at least I still do.
Oh, every day.
And so why marketing though? I'm curious, from real estate to marketing.
Yeah. So yeah, I've been in all kinds of different things. Before I got into marketing, I thought about the things that I really loved when I was in distribution, which was that it was dynamic. We were helping our clients grow their business. And as their business grew, ours grew as a result of that. It kept me on my toes. And I just, things that are static, I get bored. It's gotta be changing for me. And so that's when I said, look, I know what it takes to run a business, to grow a business. Marketing is super important. I'm just going to jump into this. And so that's what I did.
And what was your first step to learn more about marketing when you're first getting started? Then what are some of your go-to sources?
Yeah, there's a lot of go-to sources. My go-to source and why I'm part of the Duct Tape Network at this point is John. And I was on his list for, three, maybe even 4 years before I joined the network. And then just digital marketer is another big one in our space. But there's so much great marketing information out there. I think it's just a matter of finding. To me, it's really how I had somebody on our podcast a while ago, and he said to me, look, I had a mentor that said, when it comes to marketing or sales or whatever it is, there's only 5 or 6 pages of the nitty gritty. We're all just taking the information and repackaging it in a way that it makes sense to us. And we attract people because of that. Marketing is no different. You find those people that really resonate with you and run with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I noticed on your website, I believe you're involved with SBDC and SCORE now today. So it sounds like you're giving back a little bit of what you've learned over the last several years.
Yeah. And it's a way for us to educate and teach. And for people that are in our space or any coach or consultant for that matter, I think teaching and is a great way to build your brand, build credibility and generate leads.
And one of the things that I know you also mentioned is that you help service businesses simplify marketing so they can grow with less stress. And I totally agree with you that people tend to overcomplicate marketing, especially in the small business space. I run into that all the time. It's this big, confusing thing. And so how do you help small business owners simplify marketing specifically?
Yeah, and I totally agree with you, Sarah. I find business owners, they're just battling information overload when it comes to marketing, and they feel overwhelmed and they can't create a plan. But a plan is what you need if you're going to simplify things. So to me, simplifying marketing comes back to the fundamentals. So many people skip the fundamentals of marketing. And because of that, they overcomplicate it. They waste time. They waste money. You cannot have an effective long-term strategy without having those fundamentals in place. The way I put it is they lay the foundation for you to build the rest of your house from. And so many people want to get tactical immediately where it's, I got to have my website. And oh, somebody just said I need to be on TikTok and Clubhouse. But until you actually know who your target market is, who you're trying to attract, what you're going to say to them, how you're going to communicate what you do and your value and make it easy for them to understand, and then have a plan of how you're going to get that message in front of those people, you're spinning your wheels. Your marketing is a complete crapshoot. So we simplify it by getting those fundamentals in place. And when you have a plan, right, plans give you clarity. And when you have clarity, you have less stress. So put the plan in place, work the plan, gives you your marching orders, and you know exactly what you need to do. And it helps eliminate all that information overload and that distraction.
Yes, you're preaching music to my ears. I have conversations like this all the time with small business owners. And sometimes they get hung up on the investment of laying out the strategy or a plan. And I answered exactly as you've outlined there. You're going to keep wasting money by just throwing it at tactics that aren't tied together and are not guiding the customer journey. And yes, it's an investment, but it's an important investment on your business to ultimately give you confidence, clarity, control over all of your marketing. So I couldn't agree more on that either.
Yeah. Well, and people, I think, that want you to get tactical immediately because they need leads tomorrow, they're not going to be good long-term clients. So we have to find, sometimes we say no to people because they're just not a good fit for us. If they don't, because like you said, do you want to take 2 months now and then start really getting benefits? Or do you want to be 6 months down the road and have to come back to this again?
Yeah. It's up to you. Learning how to say no to potential clients is sometimes something that's hard to learn, especially as you're getting started. But that's something that I hear time after time when I speak to more seasoned consultants and agency owners. It's in the beginning, I would maybe say yes to everyone. I didn't really know how to identify my ideal target group. And I ended up losing money or being really frustrated in the work I was doing because I wasn't working with the right clients for me.
Yeah.
And so I know you've narrowed your focus on a bit to service businesses. And so what led you to working with service businesses as a primary market?
Yeah, so for us, it's primarily coaches, consultants, and professional service providers. We settled on that because their marketing is no different than what we do for our company. And so it's very easy. It's much easier for me to just say, hey, look, these are the things that we're doing for our business. I'm not asking you to do anything that I don't already do. And that's another interesting thing about being in the marketing space. There are so many marketing coaches, consultants, agencies that they don't do a good job marketing their own business. It's like the cobbler that has no shoes. I have never wanted to be that person. We just jump in. Frankly, a lot of the stuff we test on us, and then we know that it works or not, and we can then apply that to our clients. There's just a lot of similarities there from a marketing perspective with what we do and our ideal clients, which makes things a lot easier for us, I think.
Yeah, I love that you have a test option built in. As you said, you can test it, make sure it works, prove that it works, understand the process, and then roll it out to clients as you see fit. And I couldn't agree more with you in terms of the marketing consultants and agencies that their websites and their marketing often becomes an afterthought because they start working with a handful of clients and then they get really busy with client work and then they're happy, they're content, they're working, but they're not growing. And so I see that all the time. And constantly, I'm trying to remind people to take a step back and really focus on working on your own business and setting time aside to work on your own business versus just getting too bogged down into client work.
I think it might have been John that said this. I don't remember, but early on, somebody said to me, you need to treat as a marketing company, you need to treat your company like a client. And that always stuck with me. In our project management software, we have tons of projects for our company that are in there. And it's just, it's like any other client, it's there. And we are doing that work on a consistent basis. That always stuck with me. And it was fantastic advice.
Yeah, I think I'm not going to take credit for it. It probably was John, even though sometimes I like to try to take credit for it. I'm just kidding.
You know what, Sarah, it could have been you. Whoever it was, thank you.
No, I think it's smart. It's really smart in terms of, because I always talk about taking the time to work on your business, but thinking of your business as an actual client and literally mapping it out in a project management tool and dedicating time and resources to your business as a client, I think that's a really smart way to talk about it. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You list on your website as well that the way you look at the fundamentals of marketing are target market, messaging, and plan. So we've talked a little bit about target market already. How do you come in, and if you're starting to work with a business and they really don't have any clear messaging, or it's something like we provide good service, or you've been in business for 25 years, some of the common things we hear, how do you help them uncover and develop a message?
Yeah, so we use StoryBrand from Donald Miller. It's just, when it was introduced to me, it just made a ton of sense. And I was like, man, people are going to get this. And sure enough, as we started to talk to clients about it, they get it. And it's just it's a simple framework that we can walk people through. And when we're done, they've got this framework that they can go back to just make sure that they're being consistent with their message each and every time. And they're being clear. So many people focus their messaging either on themselves, which our customers don't care about us. They care about what we can do for them, or they make it difficult for people to understand what the heck they do. And if we confuse people, they're not going to take the time to figure it out. They're going to move on. And I just find that the framework helps eliminate those issues, and it makes it so much easier for people to then create clear messaging. I don't know about you, Sarah, but I haven't come across a single client that doesn't need messaging work.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. That's one of the starting points always.
Yeah. And you can't create good messaging until you understand your ideal clients. We really want to get to a place where you're entering the conversation that's already in their head. And when you can do that and you can put out a message so that when they read it, they go, oh my God, Sarah's talking to me. She gets it. Was she in that meeting that we had last week? They know she understands exactly what's going on. When that happens, they are down the road, almost ready to raise their hand.
I couldn't agree more. Everything starts with ideal clients and who you're trying to resonate with. And then another area that we typically look at when we're doing messaging is competitors. So a lot of times when you're starting to work in industry, they're all saying the same thing. And so one of the exercises we often do with clients is we'll bring up their website versus like their competitor's website and kind of show them visually how literally they're all promising the same thing. They're talking about their services. They're talking about how great they are. And they're really not focused on the ideal client. And so do you go through a similar process in terms of looking at competitors as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And this happens all the time. You can pull up the competitor's sites, pull the logos off, and you have no idea who it is. There's no differentiation in what they're saying. And honestly, that's a really easy way to show a client why the work that we're about to embark on is so important. And frankly, how it's not that difficult in most industries to differentiate your business from your competitors, because everybody sees the same dang thing. A few slight tweaks, be consistent with it, and all of a sudden now you're differentiated and you're going to stand out. So that when they go to your website, they're going to remember it, and they're not going to remember your competitors.
And now a word from our sponsor, Airborne. Sales engagement platforms are fundamental to the modern tech stack. Airborne delivers everything you would expect from a sales engagement platform, and then some. Get the most out of every interaction and make your team more effective with Airborne. Learn more about how to set up your team for success at airborneapp.io. Now back to the show. So you've worked with someone, they have their target market, they understand that group, they have a core message that you help them develop. Then what is next as part of the plan?
So the way we use plans is we use a 90-day marketing plan. I keep this super simple. I think our businesses are evolving quickly and our marketing needs to evolve with it as well. 90 days is long enough to start to see results, but it's short enough where you can look at what's working and what's not and make course corrections, update your plan, and then you have another 90-day sprint. We use a single page marketing plan. It can go over that if you're typing a lot, but we just look at six things. Again, I like to keep it simple because of complexity. Somebody told me once, complexity is the enemy of results. If we make things too complicated, it's just hard to figure out where things are breaking down. So we use a six-step plan. Target market. Who are your ideal clients? What's your goal for the next 90 days? Specific, measurable. It's going to be time-bound because it's a 90-day plan. What's your budget and your resources, right? We have to know what we have to work with. Do I have $5,000 a month? Do I have $500 a month? Do I have staff time that can help with this implementation? Do I, and do capabilities. Just because Joe in my office has 5 hours a week to spend on Facebook, if he doesn't know anything about it, he's probably not the best person to do it. So we're just getting an idea of what we have to work with. Then we look at what's your current plan. Most people don't have a plan. That's okay. We just need to outline where we're starting from because you can't identify what you need to do to get to where you want to go until you know where you're starting. It's like your GPS. Then in the fifth step, we look at what we're going to do for the next 90 days. These are the more tactical elements, our marching orders. And then the sixth one is metrics. What metrics are we going to track to see whether the actions we're taking are actually working or not? And that's it. Six steps, implement, take action, and then look at your metrics, make your course corrections, and you wash, rinse, and repeat.
Love it. It's simple. It's straightforward. It's not stressful sounding at all, which is exactly what you're trying to help business owners through. Yep. One of the things that I run into all the time as well, okay, maybe they don't have the plan in place, but a lot of times people don't also have metrics in place. And so if someone's not tracking anything up to this point, and they start working with you, what are some key metrics that you have them start tracking?
Yeah. So the first metrics that I look at are how many leads are you generating? And then how many of those leads convert to clients? It's crazy how many businesses don't have those two basic metrics. But when you have those two basic metrics, now that's super powerful because now you know exactly how many leads you need to generate to have a client. That's the easiest place to start. If you don't have those two metrics in place, start there. Yeah. Because Sarah, you and I both know there are so many vanity metrics when it comes to marketing that don't mean anything. It's so great. You have 50,000 followers on Facebook. How many clients are you generating from that? Oh, I don't know. Then it doesn't matter. Who cares? There are plenty of people that have very small audiences that do tons of business because they're reaching a market that they serve well, that they do great work for, and they convert tons of those people. And that's it. So those are the two easiest places to start, in my opinion.
And when you're talking about tracking the number of leads that are coming in, are you using Google Analytics and conversions or how are you helping?
It depends on the client. Usually Google Analytics with goals can be a good way to do that, but it's not, some of the leads aren't always coming through their website. So I think it's really more leads that are coming into their customer relationship management system and looking at where those are coming from and then following them through the CRM to figure out, okay, who dropped off, who converted to clients, where did they come from? That's another good thing to track too, is where the heck your leads are coming from so that you can start to identify what's working and what's not. Because to me, the best place to start with somebody is to look at what's already working.
Yeah.
And make sure that we're optimizing that first. Because if you have gaps there, those are places you can get quick wins, right? Quick wins, generate more leads for them, and then you can start to expand out into other channels.
Yeah. That reminds me of a client that has a bit of a limited budget, but has been spending a lot of it on direct mail for several years. And so recently I had a conversation and asked her about how effective is the direct mailer? Are you setting up call tracking when you send it out? And she's like, honestly, I have no idea. It's just something that I thought I should be doing for the last several years. So she's been sending this out consistently, but has no idea if they're actually getting leads coming from this mailer. And so that's, if you're out there doing any tactics at all, I think make sure you have tracking in place to make sure you can measure the effectiveness and focus on the ones that are the most effective for you.
Yeah. If you don't have the data, it's tough to make good decisions.
Definitely.
And so many people, I don't think, realize there are tools out there where, yes, if you are doing offline stuff, you can still track the effectiveness of it. And as long as you have those things in place, then you can determine, hey, should we keep doing this or not?
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome, Tim. I really enjoyed catching up with you and speaking with you today. If anyone's listening and are interested in connecting with you online, where can they find you?
Best place is our website. Just go to rialtomarketing.com. It's R-I-A-L-T-O marketing.com. All our social channels, all the content that we're producing is all right there, easy for people to find. So hop on over there. If you do want to connect with me on LinkedIn, that's another good spot. And I believe it's linkedin.com/in/TimPFitzpatrick.
Awesome. And one more question I wanted to squeeze in real fast, just to close this off, is real quick, how'd you decide on the name for your business?
Twofold. One, the Rialto Bridge in Venice is where my wife and I started our honeymoon. So close to my heart there. The second thing is, bridges help people get from where they currently are to where they want to go. And that's exactly what marketing does.
Love it. Thanks, Tim. I have to make it to Venice one day myself. It's one of the places I haven't been, but it's definitely on the list.
That's a great spot. So thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, Sarah.
Of course. And thank you all for listening to the Agency Spark podcast. We'll see you next time.